Is Robert Duvall the greatest American actor? He tops a lot of lists, and we want to remind ourselves why. Starting with a role in which he didn't say a word, close your eyes. You can probably see this moment when Scout sees Duvall's Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Hey, Boo.
Miss Jean Louise, Mr. Arthur Radley.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb? 12 hours when it was all over, I walked up.
And if you just hold the ladder, baby, I'll climb to the top.
Now, besides the whiskey, I think we'll require a little respect. Now, I'm Captain Augustus McCrae. This is Captain Woodrow F. Call.
You may now have the privilege of serving under the meanest, toughest, screamingest squadron commander in the Marine Corps. Me.
Mr. Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Robert Duvall is lawyer Tom Hagen in The Godfather. Before that, Bull Meacham in The Great Santini. Cattle driver Gus McCrae in Lonesome Dove. Country singer Max Sledge in Tender Mercies, for which he won an Oscar. And Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore in Apocalypse Now. Robert Duvall turned 90 this year, and we thought, what a good time to just say hi. A warning, it's always a bit of a family reunion. He was married to my sister at one time. Bobby Duvall, hello.
How you doing, Robin? How are you?
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
What do you think, Bobby, when you hear lists like this?
It's nice to hear that some of the ones that are left out, especially the left out.
Is there one that may be left out that you actually think was overlooked?
Well, when I played Stalin, that was one of my favorite parts. It was very strange to be filming in the Kremlin. Still with some of those leftover people that were probably pro-Stalin, you know. Maybe the greatest review I ever got, I feel. Nikita Mikhailkov's father was like Stalin's personal poet. And when he saw the movie, he said, I touched the soul of Stalin.
So, Koba?
No. Stalin.
Stalin?
My new name.
Steel.
Steel. But for you, friend to friends and comrades like you, I'm always Koba.
To Stalin?
No. To Lenin.
Well, some people say Stalin didn't have a soul, but I think you mean in every character you want to find one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The great American writer, Larry McMurtry, just passed, as you know, 84.
Yeah, he passed away recently.
Yeah. He, of course, wrote Lonesome Dove. You starred in the television adaptation with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite part. And it was because of your sister that I went after it. And she was the one that told me to hone in on that part, not the other one. In Texas, it's like a religion. My good friend Hank Whitman, who was the head of the Texas Rangers, made me an honorary Texan, an honorary Texas Ranger. And a woman came up that day and said, we watch Lonesome Dove once a year in our Texas family. And she said, I would not allow my daughter's fiancé to marry into the family until he had seen Lonesome Dove. So that's pretty much of a religious thing in the state of Texas, Lonesome Dove.
My sister was your then wife, the wonderful Gail Youngs, read the book, Lonesome Dove, told you have to do this.
She said, I read a book and I like better than Dostoevsky. And she said, you have to, you know. So my agent, I said, if you can get him to switch parts, then fine, but not otherwise I'm not interested.
Why?
I don't know. It's just something, you know, you connect with, you know. That's what it was a feeling, you know. I went south with Rodney Jenkins, the great American horseman. I always believe I do my own horsemanship, my own singing, and my own dancing in a movie. It's me that has to do that.
Well, you worked with other great writers, Horton Foote, directors, Francis Ford Coppola in Apocalypse Now. Talk about Coppola. We asked listeners to send in questions for you. And I can't tell you how many wanted to know, where did the line about napalm come from?
That was Coppola. That was scripted, yeah. I love the smell of the napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. I asked Francis, I only asked you one time, I'd like to play that part. And when I got there, the part was overwritten with a guy who was like a cowboy with boots. And it was a caricature. It was first written as a character called Colonel Carnage. So I got with a guy who had been in Vietnam, and he told me, He told me how to shape it with the air cavalry, because I had been in the service in the Army, and I knew what those special service officers were like. We went from there and formed that, and Coppola gave me the chance to play that part.
We talked about roles that you obviously loved. By the way, do you just shake them off?
You try not to live in the past, but you can't help but doing that some.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Apostle.
Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give me peace. Give me peace.
That was an interesting thing, because I studied preachers all over America. And the greatest preacher I ever met was Isham Williams, an elderly black preacher from Hamilton, Virginia.
I remember I was privileged to travel with you and, again, your then wife, Gail. We went to visit with Johnny and June Carter Cash, and there was a little chapel down the road from them where the pastor worked with snakes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Johnny was a religious man, good person, Johnny Cash. And I remember one day he got caught behind a fence with his big longhorn steer, and June went crazy because the thing looked like it was going to charge him, but it didn't, you know.
Are you still Christian Scientist?
Yes.
Yeah. So why were these many fire and brimstone preachers so interesting to you?
Well, it's like a truly American art form. Mm. And I sent a copy of the film to Marlon Brando, and he sent me back a note. It was wonderful. He accepted it. And then I also heard that Billy Graham accepted the film. So I got it from the secular, and I got it from the religious community both. And I have this letter on the wall from Brando. I like it more than my Oscar.
What was it like to work with Marlon Brando? Were you and Al Pacino and others tiptoeing around him a little bit? Or?
Yeah, a little bit in the beginning. You know, Jimmy Conn, he's one of a kind, Jimmy, great guy. He'd crack a joke and it'd take Brando 3 seconds to get it. You know, he was like the godfather of actors. Dustin Hoffman, me and Gene Hackman used to go to Cromwell Drugstore a couple of times a week in New York City. And if we mention Marlon once, we mention him 25 times.
Why?
Well, he was very innovative, the guy. You know, he was novel. And when I first saw him, I got not threatened, but I said, I don't understand what he's doing. He was so real, you know. And then we got to work with him. It was wonderful, you know. Very special guy.
I think you should tell your Don what everyone seems to know.
I didn't tell Mama anything. I was about to come up and wake you just now and tell you.
But you needed a drink first.
Yeah.
And now you've had your drink.
They shot Sonny on the causeway. He's dead.
Is that it, Bobby, being real? I mean, what would you say? When do you know you're doing it right and well?
Well, yeah, it kicks in. Things kick in. Like somebody said once, there's no right and wrong. There's only truthful and untruthful, so to speak.
Yeah. I have some more questions from listeners, and one of them is going to be, who was the best teacher you ever had? I was thinking of Sanford Meisner.
Meisner, yeah, he was good, but he dealt with the imaginary. But I also think you can drift from that and use anything you want to use.
What do you mean he dealt with the imaginary?
You know, it's as if this, and use the imaginary. But I believe you can use anything. You can go beyond that and use the personal anytime you want to use it.
What would your advice be to a young actor starting out?
Get with some kind of group. Don't be isolated individually, you know. Recently, on my birthday, my wife, she had all different people call in. And Dustin Hoffman, he said that I took my social life lightly, but my career more heavily. I am kept in touch with too many of those guys from The Godfather, De Niro and those guys. And everybody's dying.
Well, yeah. That's what you get for living a long, wonderful life, you know. It's
Yeah.
But that's got to feel good to be in that number, to be in that
group. But they will always be good actors. I feel that the work done now ensemble-wise is better than before.
Really?
It goes on and on and on and on. I always say, you know, come into the fold.
Well, you could do a movie with Robert Duvall.
You know, there's a few more left, maybe.
Well, Bobby, I just, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Do you still get up in the morning and go, Mighty?
All my friends talk about Mighty. That started with my brother way back, my older brother. He liked Michigan, so he used to talk about Mighty Michigan's football team. Yeah.
Well, this was just Mighty. It's the day, and we all felt we had to seize it with you.
Thank you. Mighty to see you.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.